Stu Does America.
Election Year is finally here. Subscribe to the Stu Does America podcast feed, and there you will get to a brand new episode of State of the Race. We're going to give you a little preview of it tomorrow. It's going to be covering all the election insanity that you crave. You can get it on the Blaze Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts. It's a free bonus pod, so don't miss out on it here on the Stu Does America feed. If you can get, also go to YouTube there, you can get youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. You can subscribe and like the videos. We appreciate when you do that because it helps us spread the word on the show. And as you might know, the algorithm robots over at YouTube do not like us that much, so we do need your help on that front. Jason Buttrell is here to gossip on all the late Jeffrey Epstein pals that we got in a big fat list that came out last night. What does it all mean? A Las Vegas judge got an airborne surprise during his sentencing. You won't believe this video. It's incredible. But we start by doing the border powder keg. You know, it's fascinating. We're going into an election year, as we were just talking about. And the border is kind of a big deal. You'd think if you were the president of the United States and wanted to remain president of the United States, you'd do something about this problem. But that does not seem to be Joe Biden's approach. He's going in the other way and just screwing it up more and more by the day. Migrant encounters at the southern border hit a record 302,000 in December. 302,000. Between December 1st and December 31st, more than 302,000 migrants were documented attempting to cross the U.S. southern border. It is the highest total for a single month ever recorded. It is also the first time migrant encounters exceeded 300,000. More than 785,000 migrant encounters have happened, have been reported since the beginning of the fiscal year on October 1st, the highest first quarter ever recorded. Of course, fiscal year starts in October. Now, you might say, well, what does that even mean, right? Like 300,000, it's hard to know what that means. How bad is that? Well, it's really, really high. U.S. border officials on track to process over 300,000 migrants in December, the highest monthly tally on record. And remember, these are just the ones they're processing. Like, these do not include, you know, gotaways, right? Like, these aren't people that come up and are running away. And, you know, a lot of the more dark parts of the border where people are coming across for, you know, criminal means, like they're trying to avoid these people if they're bringing in weapons or whatever. They're trying to avoid the border guard. A lot of the people we're talking about here are people who are going across the border and just being like, hey, I'm here. I'm asylum. I came all the way from the very dangerous Cancun and I need to be let in via asylum. And they say to them, well, we need to protect your rights as a citizen of Cancun. So come on in, come back and see us in 2031 at court. We'll see you then. That's what we're talking about here. We're not even talking about the other side of this, which is a whole nother group of people that's not even counted here. Previous monthly high in overall crossings at the southern border was recorded all the way back in September. Do you remember how old you were in September of 2023? Oh, the good old days, way back then when we were so young and innocent in September of 2023. The record in September was 270,000 migrants in and around ports of entry. Now, again, that doesn't really give you that much perspective. And one of the things I love to do is try to help out with perspective, because if you just hear these numbers, you're thinking, okay, well, it's higher, it's the highest. You know, we have a whole segment on the show called Biden's New Low. He's always breaking records. What do these records mean? Let me give you a couple of charts, a little chartapalooza. Conservanerds unite. Let me show you what this means, because it is incredible. Here is the graph from the past four fiscal years. And you see, you know, I mean, it's high. The red line, the little tiny red line in the upper left-hand corner, is the beginning of the 2024 fiscal year. And you might say, well, yeah, that's higher than most of the other months. True. However, what I'm not telling you is that we have not put in this month yet, December. December is literally off of this chart. They have to change the chart because it's so high, it actually goes above into the blue bar area of this chart if we were going to extend that line. And obviously, as we've mentioned, It is the worst of all time. Here is a breakdown of the past few years, just giving you the raw numbers. You can see them. You see a lot of, you know, 2021, you're seeing 71,000, 72,000, 73,000. It has gone up every single month. And now we've been in six figures since February of 2021, every single month. And you do see some that cross into the 200,000s, but it goes even higher than that and higher than that and higher than that and all the way up to the 300,000s for the very first time. This is the previous high, by the way. You see with a little red circle there, September, 269,735. And you might say, okay, I get the point. It's the highest of the last 4 years. It's off the chart. But that's not really a perspective in long term, right? That just shows you the Biden administration, right? Like, it doesn't show you the details of what is this, what does this look like for everybody else, right? So let's go back to like the Obama administration, go back to like 2014 and show you all of those years. And here they are. You see, this is incredible when you think about this. You see all of the lines for every single year basically coalescing around the same mark. Now, there is one outlying year, and that year is 2019. You see a huge spike in 2019. Obviously, Donald Trump was president. The economy was very good at this time. We had some controversies about separating families around here. You kind of remember that there was, this is when the caravans were coming to the border. We were talking about it all the time. 2019, there is a huge spike. So 2019, to set that case again, is a massive outlier year. It was a bad, bad year for the border. Now, let me bring you up that chart one more time and give you one more piece of detail. Look to the left. That gigantic spike is less than 150,000. That terrible outlier year is less than half of what Joe Biden just did. Less than half and lower than every single month for months and months and months and months and months. And every other year outside of 2019, going back to 2014 on this chart, is lower than every single month since February of 2021. Basically, the second Joe Biden came into office, everything went crazy. It's really that simple. Now, you can say, well, what's he supposed to do? I mean, this is what they're trying to do. Mayorkas is coming out and saying, oh, gosh, it's because of global warming. I mean, that is really what they're saying now. But, you know, they've also been telling us global warming has been going nuts for decades. So where are we here? Because this seems like this is a situation that is totally out of control. And of course, Americans are actually recognizing this. Only 32% of Americans are confident in Biden's border abilities. And that's kind of like the outer limit of partisanship, right? Like if you think Joe Biden's doing a good job on the border, you have to be basically invincible when it comes to your partisanship. Like literally anything that happens, you'll say Joe Biden is doing a good job. 32% is probably the lowest he can go on some of these issues. Pew Research poll found only 32% of Americans are very confident in the president's ability to make wise decisions about immigration policy, down from 53% 2 years ago. 67% of Americans were not at all confident. That's the right answer, by the way, boys and girls. There were similar declines in views of Biden's handling of immigration, which dropped 21 points from 53% to 32%. These are not areas that you want to run a new campaign on. You don't want to see things in the low 30s and high 20s when you're trying to run for re-election. People typically reject that. They don't like the idea that that's what you're doing. Now, of course, Republicans have noticed this. They want to do something about it. The Democrats are blocking them at every turn. They want to do something. They want to implement policy. Democrats are blocking them on every turn. Now, look, I am critical of the Republicans all the time. They have a lot of policies that suck, frankly. And honestly, like even their supposed, glory days of having control of the government, they didn't do much on immigration. We know, going back to the George W. Bush administration, the failures that are associated with Republicans when it comes to immigration, they're not great on this issue either, but they are so much better than what we have now in the White House. It is notable. Mike Johnson, House GOP, visiting the southern border. They were down there today, and they got a little interesting greeting. And I want to show you, this is incredible video. Well, let me show you the welcome present here. There's a bunch of illegal immigrants coming across the border here, as you might think. As you know, this is Bill Mulugan's video, by the way. And then as they are crossing the border, in the background there, you see a gathering. Well, those are the Republicans. The Republicans are there having a meeting about the border, talking about how bad the border is, and they don't even care. They're crossing the border right in front of them, right next to the House Speaker. They're just walking across, coming into America, and they will be another number on Joe Biden's tally. This is how incredible and egregious this has become. It's not just there as well. Watch this from Arizona. This is from News Nation's Ali Bradley. And you just see, I mean, look at how many people we're talking about. They're everywhere. Everywhere, coming across the border in line to surrender as supposed asylum seekers. The wall doesn't make much of a difference when you're just letting everybody in, right? Look at how many people. I mean, it's worse than going to Six Flags in the summer. Look how many there are. How can this happen? I mean, you know, Donald Trump used to say all the time, like, we're not going to have a country if we don't have a border. And it's like, it is sort of like that, right? Like, if you don't have national borders, are you even a nation at all? I don't know. Watch that video. You tell me. The U.S., of course, is going to react to this and act strongly. What are they going to do? They're going to open the border more. They're going to reopen border crossing as illegal immigration drops. Now, you just saw that video. We just went over all the graphs. What do you mean illegal immigration is dropping, Reuters? It's not dropping. It's going up, 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 up. Well, of course, if you read the New York Times from just a few days earlier, you see the actual truth. We are not equipped to deal with this, is the quote. Migrant surge overwhelms the U.S. border. So what's the deal here? How can they say it's dropping? Well, it's hard to know exactly. Honestly, it seems it could just be a lie, right? I mean, that's probably the most likely solution here. They're just blatantly lying about what's going on in the border. But a lot of this, too, comes to the way that they classify asylum seekers. They act as if those are not illegal immigrants. Now, we all know, we've seen printed documents, we've seen these NGOs go to these illegal immigrants and say, don't go up there and try to, you know, cut through a wall and run away from the Border Patrol. No, cross at a normal border crossing, walk up to a normal Border Patrol guy and say, hey, I want asylum. What happens? Catch and release. They release you right inside the United States, and you can stay here until your court date, which likely is, we're now seeing dates in the 2030s. So why would you run away? Why would you risk it? Why would you risk getting in some altercation with a Border Patrol officer? You just come in and you get 6 free years, 7 free years, 8 free years. Why not try that? You deal with the consequences in 2031 if you miss your court date. It's a joke. Everyone knows it's a joke. Everyone knows what they're doing here. And yet the U.S. government continues to allow it to occur over and over and over again. Now, let me go to the other part of this, which is there's this big controversy still going on with Texas sending illegal immigrants up into these northern cities. And, you know, I don't know why this is such a problem for these cities. First of all, Texas has been dealing with this problem for a very long time in massive numbers. Why can't you and your giant budget with your financial centers and all the high taxes you have, why can't you deal with some of this? Why is Texas and Arizona, New Mexico, the only states that ever get this? Why is all the burden on the border states? Why is that? Well, this, of course, started a while ago. It was at the beginning, it was Arizona, as well as Texas and a little bit of Florida, of people sending illegal immigrants, the governor sending them up to these liberal areas and saying, you guys deal with some of this. You guys deal with it. Well, honestly, what started out kind of as a stunt to make a point has turned into a real policy, because now people like Eric Adams are freaking out and people like Michelle Wu are freaking out. She's the mayor of Boston. Now, if you don't know who she is, just a little reminder. First of all, she's siding with Claudine Gay. From Harvard, of course, right? Of course, she's a liberal. She has to side with Claudine Gay, even though she's a blatant plagiarist, someone who's saying killing all the Jews is not against the policy of Harvard. She also the one that had a no whites allowed holiday party, which, I mean, that's not racist at all. We should definitely get into the habit of excluding races from stuff. Didn't we learn that was a bad idea like a million years ago? But no, apparently, let's just keep All the races separate. You know, that whole segregation thing, a second look from Boston, apparently, is in the works. But here is her statement on the border. And look, I don't like Michelle Wu as a politician. She may be a very lovely person individually. But as a politician, I don't like her policies. But sometimes we have to come together. Sometimes there has to be a bipartisan solution. Sometimes you have to come together with someone on the other side of the aisle. I know a lot of people don't want to do this, okay? But I'm a bipartisan guy. I'm willing to do this. I think we should give Michelle Wu exactly what she wants. Watch.
Every person, every human being has the legal right to come to the United States and seek asylum or shelter. And those policies have been in place for a long time.
There we go. Every human being has a legal right to come, I guess, to Boston. Because I know, we know for a fact that it's not Texas. They're passing laws to say that is absolutely not the case. You know, there are, of course, legal ways. There are asylum policies. These policies are being broken over and over and over and over again. So, look, if you're going to send a bus of illegal immigrants up to New York City, which is, of course, fine. Why not send some to Boston, too? It's really nice. I was up there this summer. It's a great place. People will love it. They'll love it there. They have all sorts of benefits, wonderful things, a welcoming message from their lovely mayor. So to me, it's like every single time one of these mayors says something like this, they get the next month of buses. You guys deal with it. You keep asking, you keep saying it's this hurtful policy to say, hey, we actually love immigrants in this country. We welcome immigrants in this country. The whole country of immigrants thing, yeah, you know, a lot of that's true. And we love people who come here, but you need to come legally through legal process. You can't just come here whenever you want. That's not how it works. Come here legally and we will embrace you. In Texas, in Florida, in Arizona, and all over the country. I mean, in Martha's Vineyard, they might not. But I will tell you, I'm doing the show right now in literally the most diverse city in America, Irving, Texas. It is literally the most diverse city in America. We love it here. It's a great place to be. Not everybody has the same skin color. Not everybody has the same traditions. You know what that makes? A great society. Lots of great food options. There's a lot of great things that come out of that. There's nothing wrong with that if people are respecting the society and coming within the bounds of the law. That is the least we can ask of people. Come here and follow our freaking laws. And if you're not going to do that, you know who loves people who don't follow laws? Boston. They love it. Go on up there and break all their laws, but leave us alone. If you want to come here, you want to come here within the bounds of the law? You want to do it the right way? We will welcome you in Texas, and every red state will welcome you. It's great to have people from different cultures. It does, I think, make us stronger, assuming you're melting into the fabric of American society. We have a culture, too. It's important to us all. I don't know why this is crazy and over the line for people to hear. The White House, of course, is accusing Republicans of making the border crisis worse because of all the power Republicans have. What they can do is pass laws. Oh, no, they can't. They can't pass any laws. They are hopeless victims of whatever the Democrats are doing. The only thing they can do, and this is new, by the way, over the past year or so, is block some of the worst instincts of the Biden administration. They can't do much of anything else. All they can do is block the worst stuff. They had years to pass immigration policies where the Republicans couldn't do anything. Did they actually solve the problem? Of course not. U.S. House Republicans plan impeachment hearing for Biden's border chief. And, you know, you saw these charts. You've seen the situations. You've seen the videos. You've seen all this going on. Does he seem like he's living up to his standard of duty? Is he doing the job he's supposed to be doing? I mean, look, you know, impeachment is a political process. I don't think you're ever going to get this guy removed right now, but still, he deserves everything that's coming to him as far as potential impeachment. The DOJ, and now because now legal threats are going back both ways. DOJ is suing Texas over a law that has been placed in Texas, which literally all it does is say, you know, that illegal immigration problem. We should say that we should treat it like it's a crime. If it's illegal, it's a crime already, right? It's just a matter of whether anyone's going to enforce it. The federal government is saying no, they're not going to. So Texas is saying, well, we'll do it then. And now, of course, they're getting sued by the federal government. And Eric Adams, who is now just freaking out, It's honestly completely laughable. The guy's a joke. But he's up there saying, oh, gosh, all these illegal immigrants are coming. We can't do anything about it. Now he's suing the bus companies. That's just, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. Oh, gosh, we can't have the buses shouldn't be bringing people here. I thought you were open arms. You have a policy that says anyone who needs shelter gets it. What happened to the open arms policy of New York? Where did that go? Now, when they're bringing illegal immigrants to New Jersey instead of going into the city, and they're letting them take the train across, and they're going to sue the bus companies. What this is and what we're seeing here is complete and utter desperation. Desperation here. They can't admit that they were wrong on these policies. You know, Eric Adams can't come out and say, actually, we need to reverse this policy immediately. It's killing us. He can't say that. So instead, he tries to come up with different ways and different people to blame. That's not enough. And I will say, like, if you think 60 Republicans were down at the border because they really wanted a nice vacation, a border vacation, so they could watch illegal immigrants cross as they're doing speeches, no, no. This is going to be a central piece of the campaign. This is what Republicans are seizing on. And I don't say that in the typical negative mainstream media. Republicans seize. No, they should be seizing on this. Somebody's got to point out what the hell is going on down here. Somebody's got to make a big deal about this. Because it's not just the border states that are victims. We now are talking about states all across the union, most of them not coming from Texas buses, but from federal government buses up to these cities. But above and beyond all of that, even the illegal immigrants are having a bad situation out of this. This is bad for everyone. And this is going to be central to the election season. We're going to be covering all of this on the new election pod. You can get that on the Studios America feed. Please do. It's called State of the Race, and we're going to be updating that starting tomorrow. So make sure you check that out. Get a little bite-sized update for your day to get started with all the election news you need to know as we get closer and closer, just a little bit over a week until Iowa. Jason Buttrell joins us next. This past December, drug shortages hit a record high, and this is causing all sorts of big problems, right? You know, if there's delays in treatment, there's treatment cancellations, there's the rationing of vital medications, even drugs as important as like basic antibiotics, like, you know, amoxicillin. They're in short supply right now, along with 294 other medications. Have you had problems getting medication at your local pharmacy? I feel like we get hit with this every week or two. Doctors are even saying that they've been forced to make impossible choices, including, you know, choosing which patients will get, you know, treatment and which ones won't. I mean, it's terrible. This is why I need the Jace case. The Jace case is a personalized emergency kit that contains five essential antibiotics that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. And Jace is continually working to expand their medical offerings. I mean, you know, they're letting you make your own choice about your own health care. They've got ivermectin. They've got all sorts of stuff. You make the choice about what you get in your Jace case. Plus, you get you can buy a gift card for your family or your loved ones so they can get a Jace case of their own, personalize it for their needs. Everyone should be empowered to care for themselves and their loved ones during the unexpected. Get your Jace case today. Go to jacemedical.com. Use the code STU at checkout. You get a discount on that order. Promo code is STU at jacemedical.com. J-A-S-E medical.com.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.
I want to bring in Jason Buttrell. He's the head writer and researcher for Glenn Beck. And Jason, take me through your night last night. What is this? What does your evening look like?
Why do these documents have to drop at the same time like that? I mean, I'm surprised it didn't drop on a Friday. That's usually when it happens.
Yeah.
So, like, you and Glenn are texting me on Saturday. Anything yet? You done yet? You write something up yet? No!
Okay, so the Jeffrey Epstein documents come out yesterday, and you are stuck reading them all night. I'm glad I wasn't. I will tell you that. Give me your, 50,000 foot observation here, because I what I've done is read the coverage. I've read bit excerpts from the documents. I haven't gone through them like you have, but like to me, it felt almost a little underwhelming. It was like it felt like it was stuff that I had seen before. There was no huge revelations there.
Yeah.
Am I wrong on that? What do these things say?
Basically, yeah, you're right. I will preface this with this is just the first rollout, so there's supposed to be a lot more things coming out. I've seen upwards of like 200 names that are supposed to come out over this. I've seen a lot of, and we didn't get 200 names last night, but I've seen a lot of, irresponsible reporting on it so far, especially last night. Even some news agencies, like in the UK and Europe, they were just going crazy. They were naming names like, they were saying, Naomi Campbell's on the list. Michael Jackson's on the list. Stephen Hawking is on the list.
Yeah, and I heard Cameron Diaz
is on the list. And so what these names are, the primary, like, so let's just say the Naomi Campbell one.
Okay.
That came from, I think it was Virginia Giuffre's deposition. So there's two main depositions that I read last night, or in that dump. It was Virginia Giuffre, which pretty much everyone, I think,
she's
knows
the
her.
Main accuser.
The main accuser that's suing Ghislaine Maxwell. And then there was Johanna Soberg, I think. I can't remember. I'm not sure how you pronounce her name. But she was one of the other. She was one of the other masseuses that worked for them. And I think it was in Virginia's where she just mentioned that they were on their way to like a Naomi Campbell party. And that's just kind of like mentioned briefly. And then she had a rendezvous with one of Epstein's people before they went to the party or something like that.
Wow. So that's, I mean, absolutely nothing there. She wasn't at the island. She wasn't abusing children. It was, they went to a party at her house or nearby her house.
Correct. Okay. So, I mean, so when you see, even see when you see reporting on this, just kind of take a step back and think about, or try, at least try to find the reference yourself before condemning all these people. Now, I will say that a lot of the people that are on this list, some of them might absolutely be guilty. There were lists where Virginia Giuffre just straight up said, she was asked point blank, were you told to have sex with this person? Yes. Were you told to have sex with this person? Yes. Multiple big, big investor billionaire type people were on that list. I will say that the Stephen Hawking thing was absolutely crazy yesterday.
So what's that? I heard his name was on the list, but I don't know the story.
So they just said, oh, Stephen Hawking's name's on the list. And then all of a sudden they started doctoring parts of the deposition to make it look like he was doing these crazy things. Well, we don't know what the reference to him is about at all. One document that was like maybe 3 or 4 pages long within the dump just mentioned, I think it was the defense requesting from Ghislaine Maxwell, we want photos and videos of interactions with Bill Clinton. We want photos and videos of this person, and he was one of the people listed there. I've seen a report that that Epstein might have paid for like a scientific convention or something like that.
Yeah.
At the island, and they all kind of went. Okay. But there's no reference at all to any illegal activity at all. Now, I will say that this was kind of like, what was going on in Hollywood. You know, like pretty much everyone knew what was going on in Hollywood. And what's his name? The other crazy one.
The producer Weinstein.
Guy. Weinstein. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like with Hollywood and Weinstein. Everyone knew what was going on.
Yeah.
So you got to also think in the back of your mind, all these people knew who Epstein was.
Right.
Why are you going and hanging out with him?
Right.
That makes no sense. That's not an accusation of guilt. It's just, why are you even hanging out with him in the first place?
There's different levels of this, right? Like, I mean, because obviously there were some people that were accused of having sex with underage girls with Jeffrey Epstein, right? Like the highest level. And then there are people who may have gone to partied with him or gone to the island. And like, you're like, whoa, what are you doing going to the island? But there's a lot of other levels. Like, I mean, you know, if you flew in his plane a couple times, you're on some of these lists, right? Like, that doesn't mean you did anything.
Yeah.
If you took money from him or gave him money or interacted with him in some way, I mean, you want to start putting people on that list, you're going to have half of the people in Hollywood and half the people in science. I mean, he was a massive donor to scientific causes. He tried to basically buy his way into major Ivy League institutions to get get his credibility up. All politicians and fundraisers and all these people he hung around all the time. That doesn't necessarily make them, pedophiles or involved in a sex ring. That's the line that we all need to try to figure out. And it doesn't seem like we got a lot of information to delineate that.
Correct. And that's right. And I want to see more of the document dump when it talks about the specific cases, primarily from Virginia Giuffre, when she talks about, yes, I was told to have sex with this person. Actually, she didn't call it that. She said there was a code word within Epstein's group. It was go give that person a massage. Go give that person a massage. And she said that was the code word that they all knew meant go have sex with that person. That was one of the things I hadn't seen before, but it was in this. Now, what's crazy is if you look at the deposition from Virginia Giuffre, and then you look at the deposition from the other witness, Joanna Soberger, however you say her name, they're vastly different. So if you look at the one from Virginia Giuffre, she's just dropping names right and left. I saw this person. I was told to give a massage to this person, all this stuff. She says that Ghislaine Maxwell was always naked and always having sex with some of these other girls right out in the open. But if you look at Joanna's, she didn't ever see that at all. In fact, she gave a lot of the massages to some of these people, but no sexual contact whatsoever. And she never saw Ghislaine Maxwell having sex out in the open. So I don't see how did one see all of it? The other one didn't see any of it. And it just makes it, there's a little bit of contradiction between the two. And so one of the names mentioned a lot was Alan Dershowitz.
Right.
All over the place. Mm-hmm. Besides Bill Clinton, he's one of the main ones, and Prince Andrew, one of the main names listed. Well, Dershowitz has already addressed this. He took them to court and actually forced Virginia Giuffre to say, oh, maybe I misremembered.
Right.
That's kind of a big thing.
It's incredibly damning to the testimony.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
He's been completely cleared from this after that.
But if you read the deposition, she is absolutely positive that he did these things. When she's talking to the people in the deposition being deposed, she's even asked at one point, did you see Alan Dershowitz's statement on this and how he called you a liar? How'd that make you feel? And she goes, it was horrifying that I was being called a liar on this stuff. I'm like, so how can you go from that to then saying, oh, I just misremembered when I took my settlement?
Yeah.
That doesn't look good.
That does not look good at all.
And then you look at some of the other things she claimed about how, Ghislaine Maxwell told her that she personally flown Bill Clinton over to Epstein's Island. But take this with a grain of salt. I don't know how much you actually trust the Secret Service under Bill Clinton or the FBI, but they claimed that we have all the records. We would have been with him. This never happened. So again, I know a lot of people don't trust the FBI and the Secret Service now, but I mean, these are things that you would think would be easy, with that high profile of a person, would be easy to prove. They haven't proved it, and they can't prove it, I don't think, at this point. So this is the only thing after, maybe in summation, I absolutely believe from all the witnesses that were involved, and even just the stuff that was released last night, that Epstein was recruiting girls through Ghislaine Maxwell, some of them possibly underage. I'm not even sure about that, but possibly underage. And multiple of them were told to actually have sex with people. I don't know about the high profile names. That's still up for debate. Could be, yes, it absolutely could be, but not entirely sure. I gotta be careful with this. It was part of Ghislaine Maxwell's defense team to heavily point out that Virginia Giuffre was working on a manuscript for a book. And she was doing that pretty heavily. Mm. What better way to do that than to start dropping high-profile names? It's good. It's a tactic.
It is. And
it's media attention.
The fact that she says she can't remember if it was Alan Dershowitz after everything she's said publicly about this guy. You have to question everything that she's said. Now, I mean, look, you look at the, I mean, you go back and read was it the Miami Herald that initially broke the details of the Epstein stuff in Florida? There's so much evidence, so much detail on what Epstein did to bringing girls for himself, right? Like, that part of it is really, really clear. We know he did those things, some of them underage, some of them not. Those things are real. But when you get to these, like, fringy sort of perimeter players, these names that everyone wants to go to, it is harder to know what really went on. I mean, Prince Andrew looked so guilty in his interview that it was like, okay.
Yeah. And he was forced to settle.
And he was forced to settle. You know, Dershowitz was the exact opposite. He denied it from the beginning and pushed it to the point where she basically, in a way, had to settle. She had to say, oh, actually, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't him. Yeah. So all that's out there. We know there's going to be more documents from these cases. This is sort of a side point, but is it fair? Is it fair? We all want to know this information, but is it fair if you're Naomi Campbell to have your name dragged through the mud as part of this? Like, what's the purpose of releasing her name as part of this?
No, it's an excellent question. And it's one of the main points I wanted to get across right now is that I think that kind of how it's how I feel about government, probably all your viewers and listeners feel about government, just how we question everything about government, something as large of a case as this, and as important of a case mm-hmm. like this, make sure you have a heavy dose of skepticism and you have your questioning glasses on and ears on when you're hearing this stuff. Because, yeah, I saw a news report last night and this morning where they're listing all these names as being on the list. They called it the list. Well, no. I mean, she's not on the list. She was mentioned in the deposition, but had nothing at all to do with anything. So, you know, even when we hear names like, and I know this is going to like sound bad, but even when we hear names like Bill Clinton thrown mm-hmm. around, this does not mean that he did anything guilty.
Yeah.
Was he hanging around with a scumbag? Yeah, but I think a lot of people that are elected to public office probably hang out with a lot of scumbags.
Yeah. Look, I mean, he deserves, unlike what the left does for people like Brett Kavanaugh, he deserves the presumption of innocence, just like anybody else. But I do want to know what went on with Clinton, because if you're talking about where is there a lot of smoke, you know, he's one of those guys where there's a lot of smoke. But let me ask you this last one. You mentioned the government, and I think this is an interesting part of this, because this isn't really where I think the most interesting information is on this case, right? Like, these are like, you know, defamation cases and back and forth. Jeffrey Epstein is on the tarmac getting arrested at Teterboro, they go to his condo, they rip everything out of his condo. God knows what they get out of that. You know, jump drives and pictures and documents and videos and good old God only knows what was in there. All that is just being held by the government. We don't know what's in there. That seems to be where the actual truth may lie, and yet the government doesn't give us that at all.
Okay, that's a very good point, because also in the documents last night were multiple requests from lawyers asking for, so the witnesses are saying that pictures were being taken when a lot of this stuff was going on. Ghislaine Maxwell should have that in her possession, which mm-hmm. the government has. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Epstein should have had a lot of that stuff. In fact, I think Joanna, the other witness, mm-hmm. mentioned seeing naked pictures. But she didn't know who they were of, but she mentioned seeing them. Where are those? They raided every single property. That's got to be in their possession. So, I mean, I can't, it's things like that. That, you know, I'm heavily skeptical on everything, but it's things like that that make you go, what the hell is going on? Yeah. Really? Yeah. Like, you know, like something, like, come on. The more information you withhold, the more questions you get, the more outlandish the theories get. That's why I let it all out. That's why I'm glad they're starting right now.
Yeah, at least they're starting. That's true. Jason Buttrell, head writer and researcher for Glenn Beck. Make sure to follow him on social media. And of course, check out the Glenn Beck program right here on Blaze TV. Jason, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I feel like sometimes I've seen everything, right? Like, we do the show all the time. We're talking about crazy stories, bad stories, sad stories all the time. And you feel like you've seen everything. But not the case today. I will say I've never seen this. I've watched a lot of Law & Order episodes. I don't feel like I've ever seen this on Law & Order either. This is the story. A guy who is a 30-year-old in Las Vegas, of course, shockingly, it was in Vegas. He was there for a sentencing hearing on yesterday morning. He had pled guilty to attempted battery with substantial bodily harm. Now, the judge was listening to arguments. His attorneys were basically saying, come on, give him probation. And they went through the record, and he had an extensive criminal record. And she's just like, I can't, I'm beyond that point. I just can't anymore. I can't give him probation. I've got to give him a taste of something else, is what she says. And you'll hear this in a second. when he realizes she's going to send him to prison, he just loses his mind, and this happens. Watch.
Yeah, but I think it's time that he gets a taste of something else, because I just can't with that history. In accordance with the laws of the state of Nevada, this court...
I mean, he launches himself over the bench and, like, in air, tackles the judge and is really brutalizing her. You can't see exactly what's going on. It's kind of behind the bench. But she does not come up for a long time. It takes them a very long time to actually corral him enough to end the situation. It's really, really ugly. I mean, it looked like, you know, if you've ever, you know, you're watching an NFL game and the people jump over the line to try to block a field goal. It was like that sort of clearance. Of course, he's now going to jail for a lot longer. No doubt about that. So just so you know, boys and girls, if you happen to be in Las Vegas or maybe in certain areas of Florida, don't do what he just did. I think it was yesterday was the 15-year anniversary of the Genesis block of Bitcoin. Like that's the very start, really, of it running as a software, which eventually turns into what we have now. We've had bubble after bubble and controversies and, you know, cratering and arrests and exhilaration and millionaires made and millionaires lost and all the things that have happened over the 15 years, including the first ever transaction for Bitcoin for physical goods, which was two pizzas for 10,000 Bitcoin. Well, Bitcoin broke $45,000 per Bitcoin yesterday. For the first time, this is since April 2022, when it came kind of off of that peak in 2021. So all the, you know, it's up. It's been an incredibly profitable investment. Something like 95% of days you could have purchased since, I don't know, 2014 or 15. You would be up. There's just a very short period in 2021 that you could possibly be down. Yet we're told it's a terrible investment. And this is consistent all the time, right, with what's going on, the government's advice for everything. They tell you to do all sorts of things, and it usually winds up hurting you. This is not something that you should want. Bitcoin, I think, is a, you know, in my opinion, is a great place to have some of your money in if you have some. Because it offers an upside that really nothing else has. And it's been incredibly good for people all across the country that have stuck with it. I mean, you can try to time the market and lose out just like anything else, but it's been really good. Now, when we talk about investment advice from the government, my advice is don't take their advice because it never, ever pans out well. We have a new story out. This is from Axios. These states have the highest rate of homelessness. Now, let me give you the chart. This is what the chart looks like. What do you notice about this chart? If you're listening on podcast, I'll explain it. It's the estimated homelessness rate in January 2023. And what you see is all of the dark colors, meaning higher homeless rates, are all over the west coast of the country and the northeast. Shockingly, in places where it's really not fun to be homeless, right? Like it's a bad place to be homeless. It's cold. It can be ugly. But no. Shockingly, all of the states that have glorious programs to get people to stop being homeless and help them through all their struggles, that's where everyone seemingly is. A shocking, shocking development. And keep this map on the screen, if you would. And let me give you a quote from our man, Ben Franklin, because he, think about the context of this quote as you look at this map. Ben said, "I am for doing good to the poor. But I think the best way of doing good to the poor is not making them easy in poverty, but leading or driving them out of it. I observed that the more public provisions that were made for the poor, the less they provided for themselves and, of course, became poorer. And on the contrary, the less that was done for them, the more they did for themselves and became richer." That's the truth. Ben Franklin, back in a second. Okay, so here's what happened. I got to say, I need to apologize. I mentioned when we were talking about the guy who flew over and attacked the judge, it could have been in Florida, and that was wrong. That's not what happens with Florida man. Florida man does something more like this. He goes into a Bass Pro Shop and goes to the fishing pond and just takes a fish out, a giant fish in a net, and then, you know, just walks out of the store as if it was completely normal. Very strange. I love how it says anyone with information on the mail or his whereabouts is urged to call Crime Stoppers. You know, really? Hey, who's calling Crime? He took a fish. Who's going to call Crime Stoppers? The fish's dad? I don't know. We have multi-million-dollar crime rings that you're not allowed to even stop as they leave the store with merchandise. But we're going to get this guy from Crime Stoppers because he took a fish from Bass Pro Shops? I mean, leave Florida man alone. You know what I'm saying? All right, tomorrow we're going to have a preview of our morning podcast, State of the Race. Make sure to subscribe at our podcast feed for Stu Does America. You get both this show and State of the Race with myself, Stu Bergier. We'll see you tomorrow.